on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Rosen intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And welcome to Friday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. Alongside Paul Dottino, I'm Lance Meadow, presented by DraftKings. DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. 201-939-4513, that is the telephone number. One of two ways for you to interact with us here on the program. You can also turn to Twitter using hashtag GiantsChat. We want to welcome those of you in who are watching us on Facebook Live. We'll be with you for the first 10 minutes or so, and then we advise everybody to tune in on Giants.com, a new feature that we have added here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. All three major signings are official, so Paul and I will get into all of them. We'll get to your phone calls as the defensive line is starting to come together, Paul, and you've got two defensive ends in Jason Pierre-Paul and Olivier Vernon, and then the two guys on the inside, Damon Snacks Harrison, as well as Jonathan Hankins.
I just want to know how the Giants going to feed all these guys, because that's a lot of beef we're talking about.
Especially
right there.
The two guys inside.
Without question. And, you know, the Giants had a lot of resources to use during the course of free agency, and they didn't waste any time doing it. And I think that, you know, for anyone out there who says, well, you know what, was this guy worth that or was this guy worth that? The bottom line is this. The Giants acquired players who will upgrade their roster in a big way on defense, which badly needed an upgrade. And so, you know, worry about everything else later. For the time being, just get as many good players as you can. And, you know, I got to be honest with you. I didn't think they'd be able to get Vernon. I really didn't. I mean, you know, Miami slapped the transition tag on him, and there was talk down in Miami that they were going to do everything they could to try to keep him. They were going to try to rework some deals. Maybe even Cameron Wake may have to suffer the consequences and be put out on the street. And you know what? It just so happened that the way things worked out, Miami pulled back that transition tag. They wanted that $12.7 million back off of the tag. They felt they needed it to do the deals that they were doing. Of course, the big trade with the Philadelphia Eagles. And so that's the move they made, and it opened things up for everybody, including the Giants. And I love the Peter King story on SI.com. Did you read it?
I did not see the whole thing, but I do know of the article.
He went through hour by hour, basically, how the negotiation process went down for Olivier Vernon and how the Giants were in it, the Jaguars were in it, the Jets were in it, and then the Jets dropped out. Now it was between the Giants and the Jaguars, and the Giants wound up landing the big fish of free agency. So, good stuff.
Well, you mentioned the Dolphins initially gave him the transition tag, and if you're to go back to that play-by-play, it happened just as we were entering the beginning of free agency.
Yeah.
So the timing couldn't have been better, Paul, because now all of a sudden, you know, if you felt that you weren't going to get the pass rusher that was number one on your list and you had some extra cash, you could all of a sudden move in, speak to the representatives of Olivier Vernon. And you brought up that Eagles trade. They took on Miami a lot of salary between Maxwell and Alonzo. On top of that, they signed Mario Williams. So the three additions of that opened things up for them to part ways with Vernon. And obviously that was a big benefit for the New York Giants. And when you look at this statistics from 2015, it's no secret that the Giants needed to address their defense, and they got a run stopper, they got a guy that can get to the quarterback, and they got a cover corner. So that's three areas that certainly are bolstered right there.
Well, you know, what's really interesting to me is that as you looked at the list of guys coming off the board in the first couple of days of free agency, you know, teams obviously want to make a quick strike and get their number one guy, their top priority guy. And yet it wasn't until that afternoon when the Vernon tag came off. Remember, it didn't happen that morning. In fact, earlier in the day, the Giants had actually agreed with Janoris Jenkins. He was their first signing of that morning, and that was like an overnight deal. And so, you know, he came off the board, and it was like, okay, well, you know, the transition tag is still on the Dolphins. So, you know, how hard is it going to be to pry Vernon away? And you know, as you read the article by Peter King, it was several hours later that the tag came off, and teams, including the Giants and apparently several other teams, were texting to find out, is the tag coming off, and if so, when? So you can imagine the trepidation that was going on for the teams that were going to try to pursue this defensive end, because they're thinking, well, we're going to need so many resources to make a real pitch to get him. But is the tag coming off or is it not coming off? And so that morning into lunchtime, into the afternoon, was certainly a rather nerve-wracking time period, because there were a bunch of teams interested in him who were also trying to talk to other players. And they needed to know, where are our dollars going to go here? So fortuitous that the Eagles finally decided, not the Eagles, but the Dolphins finally decided that at that moment in time, that afternoon, okay, you know what? We're pulling the tag off. We need the money to do this, this, and this, and this. We're not going to hold them up anymore. Just let's make this move. And that's really what opened the window on the negotiations for Olivier Vernon.
Well, there's a big difference between having your money tied up for 5 days if you were to offer Vernon something.
Yes.
And still have the transition
that's
tag
a big deal.
Versus you just offer him and he could accept it right on the spot. So that obviously gave the teams that were interested in him a great deal of flexibility, including the Giants, who ultimately landed him. And now that he is a member of the New York Giants, Paul, I'm sure from the Giants fan perspective, it's attractive when you look at this foursome on paper. The potential that this group can bring to the Giants, quite exciting. And I thought Olivier Vernon had a really good quote. And the three players, in case you're just joining us, did hold conference calls with the media yesterday.
Correct.
And Vernon was asked about the potential of this front four. It's very intimidating on paper. There's a lot of versatility there. You know, how much damage do you think this group can go out and do? And his answer was, and I'm paraphrasing him, you could talk all you want about what's written on paper. We got to go out there and we got to execute on the X's and O's front. So you don't necessarily win games based on what's on paper. But right now, the Giants, specifically Steve Spagnuolo, I'm sure, is staying up late at night wondering how he can creatively use this group.
You know, the two things that the Giants got from these two players, and I understand that Vernon only had, what, 7.5 sacks last year.
Yeah.
He was not a double-digit sack guy. But where he ranked very high in the rankings is on quarterback hits. And on tackles for losses, he was very high on both of those stats, which are impact stats. Okay?
Which are probably more important than worrying about how many sacks you get.
Sacks can sometimes be lucky.
Correct. That's why the QB hits and the tackles for loss, I think, are a better indication of how consistent that player was in actually forcing the pocket to collapse and so forth.
So you're getting a guy who clearly has impact there as a number one frontline pass rusher. Then you talk about what Snacks Harrison does. And, you know, if you watch the Jets at all, and, yeah, I got a chance to see enough of Jets games this year. The Giants didn't always play on Sunday and opposite the Jets. You saw
Wait,
a guy.
You had time outside studying film from
well,
Giants
sometimes
games?
You got to watch live games on Sunday, too, you know.
I'm impressed, Paul. I just didn't know you were able to balance your time that way.
But remember, the Giants played the Jets this year, so I had to do some study on that.
How much of a bonus was that for you?
Well, you know.
Killing two birds with one stone.
So
anyway, continue the dissertation.
Yes, my point is very simple. Big Snacks commands a double team. He is a guy who does have to be, you know, addressed. Teams must give him extra attention. So much like folks talked about the Ndamukong Suh going to Miami and then commanding extra attention down there, which opened things up for Wake, although he was injured for the second half of the season. But clearly, Vernon was the benefit of that in terms of his quarterback hits and his tackles behind the line of scrimmage. Well, you should see a similar situation with Hankins and Snacks in the middle as the Giants then come outside with the edge of JPP and Olivier Vernon. I like the chemistry, the mix-up, the selection of talent groupings that these guys bring to the table. I think they all complement each other very well.
I would agree with that, and I think if you were to pinpoint one guy specifically on the defensive line, Paul, Harrison could be a huge X factor, and here's why. The Giants, and this was well documented, they were 23rd against the run last season. As a result of struggling to stop the run, what happened? They were 32nd in third down defense, Paul.
No question.
The opponents were seeing a lot of favorable third downs. Mm-hmm. You bring in a guy like Harrison to help be more efficient on first and second down. Now all of a sudden, the opponents are facing longer third downs, and then that gives opportunities for JPP and Vernon and so forth to get to the quarterback. So I look at Harrison as the true X factor in putting and bringing this whole line together.
And, you know, folks, I have to say, and, you know, I'm not speaking out of school here. The Giants have invested a lot of resources in the defensive line, and they've also invested resources in the secondary. And that's where the biggest names and the biggest contracts are coming from right now for this team. Well, your linebacking core, which is in the middle of those two units, also, just by nature, it is going to look better and be somewhat improved because you've surrounded them with better players. I could tell you what. The Giants went to Super Bowls. I remember when they played the Ravens. They had Corey Whitmer at middle linebacker. Is he a Hall of Famer? No. They went to a Super Bowl with Chase Blackburn in the middle. Love Chase Blackburn, but he's not a Hall of Famer. So, you know, you can have less than stellar guys playing linebacker when you have a dominant, forceful defensive front. Mike Barrow, you guys remember Mike Barrow. I'm sure you're not that old. I mean, that young.
I remember Mike,
you remember Mike Barrow.
Correct. Yes.
When
I didn't
Mike
just
Barrow,
come out of the crib, but
when
thank
Mike
you.
Barrow played for the Giants and helped get them to Super Bowl 35 when they lost to the Ravens, Barrow would come to the Giants when basically the Titans, they'd given up on him. They thought he was shot, okay? He wound up having two really very, very productive Pro Bowl caliber seasons for the Giants, and he will tell you that the primary reason that happened is because Keith Hamilton was playing defensive tackle as one of the Giants' front linemen. He made Keith Hamilton his best friend because he said, oh, my God, Hammer is commanded double teams all the time. He is absolutely extending my career and making my productivity a hell of a lot better than it would be otherwise. He loved Keith Hamilton like a brother. That's the kind of thing I'm saying about this defensive line right now. They're going to upgrade other production because of how good they could be.
Well, and I think they're going to help one another, too, on the defensive line, too. On top of that, Janoris Jenkins, who we hadn't mentioned here, you know, he's the other name that we should certainly throw to the forefront. He is going to be the corner opposite DRC, and he's coming from a team, Paul, that last season had a very deep defensive line. If you look at who the Rams had, Nick
no
Fairley,
question.
Brockers, and so forth.
So, Donald.
Correct. And all of those guys helped to make it easier for him on the back end of the defense. He's now coming to a Giants team, which has now all of a sudden bolstered its defensive line.
The Giants now have two corners. And again, nothing against Prince Amukamara, who I liked and had good cover skills. They have two corners now who are really going after the ball. I mean, we all know DRC's a ball hawk. We know what Jenkins is. His reputation for making big plays. Both of these guys cover corners who have a reputation and a proficiency to make big plays. It's pretty exciting.
Absolutely, and we will continue to discuss and break down all the new Giant signings. Certainly appreciate everybody for tuning in. We're going to step away from Facebook Live, so for those of you who have been watching on Facebook, head over to Giants.com to continue to keep close tabs on what we're discussing here on the program. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, hashtag Giants Chat. And we welcome you back along here on Giants.com, Big Blue Kickoff Live. Alongside Paul Dottino, I'm Lance Meadow. Opening up the phone lines, we're going to get to all of your phone calls over the remaining time here on the program. You want to weigh in on the Giants' new additions, how you think the makeup of the defense will start to come together. Certainly we'll get into all of that, as well as a number of different storylines on the free agency front. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. A big question that comes up now that the Giants have made a few splashes here in free agency, Paul, at
yes.
least I've been hearing about it on Twitter and so forth, is you know how this may impact now the draft philosophy. And my feeling is I don't think it's going to impact it so much considering, remember, the goal for the Giants is number one, best player available. And on top of that, depth. Depth is still the key. So even though you've solidified your starting group, you still want to be able to supplement that with talent on the back end.
There's no doubt that the Giants are still thin in a few positions. But depth is always going to be a concern no matter what year it is and no matter how many resources you have. You're always going to want to stockpile yourself with great players because, as Bill Parcells always used to say, you're only as weak as your weakest link. And God knows, the Giants have found out over the years, especially at linebacker and at cornerback and even at safety and to some degree at running back, although not so much last year, guys drop like flies. And all of a sudden, you're down to yeah. fifth string. So I get that. But what I would say is right now, you look at the thin parts on this Giants roster, it's thin at free safety because you don't have much experience there. It's thin at wide receiver because Victor Cruz's health is a question mark, and Reuben Randle right now is an unrestricted free agent. It's thin at tight end because even though Larry Donnell, I believe, has told everybody that his medical folks have cleared him to come back from a neck injury, I don't believe he's been in to see the Giants doctors for his physical with them either. So that's a thin position. And, of course, offensive line, which I'm just not even going to mention that anymore because it's always my number one priority. You know that.
Yes.
They got to get some more offensive linemen in here. So those are the four areas for me that are the thinnest that do need to still be addressed. The Giants have a bit of resources still remaining to do that. And then, of course, there's that thing known as the NFL draft that begins on April the 28th.
I believe so. Yes, that may happen to be somewhat important.
There are some players there.
Yes, indeed, specifically on the defensive end, which we've talked about already in great detail. All right, let's open up the phone lines here at 201-939-4513. If you can't get to a phone, hit us up, hashtag Giants Chat. We'll also get to your tweets throughout the remainder of the program. To get us going on the phone lines, we welcome in Ronald in Georgia. Ronald, what's happening?
Paulie D. Blast, what's going on? It's a great day to be a Giant.
How you doing?
Doing well, Ronald. How's things with you?
I want to explain a little of my logic, and I'm going to ask y'all a question, and I'll take it off the air.
Sure.
A lot of people want to get in. Okay, with the Eagles, with that Eagles trade and those pick swaps in the first round, you got the Eagles picking at 8 now, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay. I've been seeing a lot of, and there's just reports about us and Ezekiel Elliott. Personally,
I wouldn't be surprised, before you go anywhere, I wouldn't be surprised if the Cowboys or the Eagles took Ezekiel Elliott.
And that's exactly what I'm thinking. And we with the signings that we did on the defensive line, I don't think number 10 is a pick where we need to get a big-time pass rush. Because I think with what we got now, and if we is Selvie still on contract?
George,
or
Selvie's a free agent.
Okay. I think the core, and without us not knowing what Dickie Zua getting back healthy, I want to know if you were Jerry Reese, would you trade back to get those extra picks? And my thinking is, if you trade back to maybe with the Raiders around that 14-15 range, you can still get you a day one starter. And if Jalen Smith has some kind of Gregory type fall off to the second round, we could get him early, though he's going to be gone, and still have maybe another second round pick and an extra third to solidify depth. I was trying to see what y'all think about that, the act of trading back. Because I think Elliott's going to be gone, and I don't think pass rusher is the number one concern right now.
You want to start?
Well, I don't think that you should trade back, because I think at number 10, Ronald, to answer your question, you're going to get a playmaker. I mean, to tell you what position it's going to be, I mean, that really is up in the air at this point. But, you know, I go back to depth. While it may not appear on paper right now that you need a starting defensive lineman, defensive end, defensive tackle, however you want to label it, depth is so important, especially in a system that Spags runs when he likes to rotate personnel. So if they feel that the best player available is a defensive pass rusher, I'm sure the Giants are going to give that heavy consideration. And at number 10 in any draft in any year, you're going to get a playmaker. You're going to get a difference maker at number 10. To me, there's no need. I don't see the great value in moving back just to grab an extra pick here or there.
To build off what Lance is saying, at number 10, you got to get an impact guy. No matter what the position, he's got to be an impact guy. He's got to be a Pro Bowl level caliber kind of player. And he's also got to be, you know, ready pretty quickly. You'd like to see him give you something as a rookie, but certainly by year two, he better be a starter if you're picking number 10 overall in the draft. Now, to backtrack just a tad, I'm not totally against what you're saying, but I was more in favor of that a few weeks ago when the Giants had so many defensive holes to fill. It was my opinion that perhaps if somebody wanted to trade with you at number 10 and grab one of the QBs, because there should be maybe two QBs that are going to be high, or if somebody wanted to go grab Elliott and they were willing to give you some extra picks, I was more thinking about it then because the Giants had multiple Swiss cheese type holes to fill on defense.
Yeah.
Quantity would have been more important to me then. Right now, with the way they've plugged a whole bunch of their holes, I'm not so sure that I really want to trade number 10. I'm probably more inclined to make the pick and get this super stud blue chip prospect at whatever position he's at. And I'm going to tell you something. If the Giants think now that the best player available at number 10 is, let's just say for argument's sake, Shaq Lawson. And he is by far the highest graded guy left. And they think he's going to be a blue chip pass rusher. Guess what? I'm taking him. I really am.
You can never have enough pass
You can rushers. Never have enough pass rushers.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's where my theory and my philosophy has kind of changed now. And we warned you about this last month, that free agency will alter your draft perspective. And the bottom line, my friend, and I mean this wholeheartedly, when the Giants weigh that best player available and then need component, which is always a little bit part of that equation, the need component to me just took a dip down. I really think that the best player available is now a much stronger piece of weight on that scale. So, or actually it goes this way, right? It goes that way.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, this is my last comment, and maybe you can put it on the board. But I honestly think the Giants will trade that pick to round 14-15 to go offensive tackle Conklin from Michigan State.
And you know what? That's not a bad pick either. And what about if the Notre Dame kid is there?
Jalen Smith, you talking about the Notre
Dame
offensive
line? No, the Notre Dame tackle, Staley.
Okay, just wanted to make sure for clarification.
If Staley's there.
You talking about Staley?
Yeah, the offensive tackle from Notre Dame.
Those are considered the top two. Line.
I mean, if he's there, I might just take him at 10. I might not even worry about any trades.
If he's there at 10, then that's my pick.
Right? You okay with that?
Yeah, I'm great with that.
Okay. You and I are on the same page. We're thinking alike.
All right, Ronald. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for chiming in. If you love a player and he's there at 10,
if you love the guy,
you might as well just take him at 10.
Just take him.
Then
just
worry
take
about
him.
Moving down two or three spots.
Exactly. Forget the phone calls. If there's somebody there who you have total conviction on and you're like, he is a stud, an impact guy, he's a for sure thing, you know what? Just take him. Don't fuss around.
I would agree with you. Let's head back to the phone line. Seymour is in Florida. Seymour, what's happening? Seymour, are you there?
Hello.
Seymour is a man of very few words, apparently, this afternoon. All right. We'll put Seymour on hold. Nugs is in Minnesota. Nugs is usually talkative. Let's see if Nugs is reliable today. Nugs, what's happening?
Hello.
Hey, what's going on?
I hear you, Nugs.
Yeah. I've been
I think his battery is going.
I like
Nugs is choppy. He's a little in and out. Nugs,
you're in and out, Nugs. I think the battery in your cell phone may be going.
Don't know if it's a technical issue. All right, let's hope that the third time is a charm here, Paul.
Who we got?
We got Frank in Florida. I love the alliteration, Frank. Let's hopefully you could deliver for us here, Frank.
Hey, Paulie. How you guys doing?
Hi.
Hey, listen, I want to find out. I wasn't checking all this morning, but did Ayers sign with Jacksonville or not?
There were some reports that there was interest by the Jaguars. I had not seen an agreement or a signing as of yet. You know, this is a guy who had 9.5 sacks in 12 games last year. I certainly believe that somebody's going to benefit from his services.
Yeah, so if we keep him and we can get a hold of Shaq, then we can move Shaq and try to get some other picks.
Well, at this point, I think the boat on Robert Ayers has kind of floated out of the dock because they have used most of the resources that they had on grabbing the two linemen in terms of Snacks and Vernon. And quite honestly, Robert Ayers, I don't consider him a discount bin lineman. I think at the production level he had last year, I think he should be one of the more valued defensive linemen in this draft. And I don't think the Giants are in a position right now that they can talk those kind of numbers. I think they're looking at the outlet mall at this point for any other veterans that they're going to entertain.
Well, when you look at the available defensive linemen, you could certainly make the argument Robert Ayers is the best guy available right now in terms of everybody that's moved up the charts as these names have been plucked.
And he has a right to feel that way.
Correct, absolutely. In terms of his production in comparison to some of the other defensive linemen, yeah, I would agree with that. What else you got, Frank?
Absolutely. No, I agree. FYI, I'm heading down to DRC's thing tomorrow, his charity thing down in Bradenton, because I'm close to him.
Cool.
Very nice.
Good stuff.
Appreciate
he's a good.
Call,
he's
Frank.
A good guy. Does a lot of charitable stuff, DRC. Glad to hear it.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number. He's Paul DeTino. I'm Lance Menno. Thanks so much for spending part of your Friday with us here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Val is in New Jersey. Val, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing?
Hi. Well, Val. What's happening with you?
All right, long time listener, first time caller.
Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for chiming in.
No problem. I just had a quick question. I mean, I'm without a doubt, just like any other Giants fans out there, I'm elated that we're making some moves, adding the defensive pieces that we needed, desperately needed. But I'm kind of worried because I know the cap does increase on a yearly basis to a certain degree, but we have certain people that we need to re-sign and consider re-signing as they get older. Like, especially my concern is the offensive line. They're really young now, but in about a year or two, we got Pug, we got Westberg, those guys, and in a few years, we got, you know, Flowers. We got these guys that we got to worry about re-signing, assuming they play at the caliber that they're supposed to
play. Oh, I don't think
now.
You need to worry about Pugh, Westberg, Weston Richburg, and Flowers. I think those guys are going to be around for a long time, and there's really no hurry to sign them today. I mean, they all have deals that extend beyond this season.
Sure. I understand that, but, you know, with the considerable cap hits that we'll be taking with the new additions that we signed, along with, you know, obviously Eli, who also take up a considerable cap space, I'm wondering if we will have the kind of flexibility that we would need to hold on to the offensive line core. And just like you, Paul, I'm a big O-line guy. I strongly believe that it's the way to, you know, get the offense going. I mean, I love ODB just like everybody else too, but it all starts at the front line. And
sure,
you know, back when we were successful, when we were running with Brandon Jacobs and Bradshaw, we had those five guys, you know, O'Hara, Silberg. Those guys were gelling together. They played together a lot for many years, which gave them the continuity that we always wanted. And that's what I kind of feel like we have that now, or we're in that process of getting that with these young guys.
Val, it is Val, right? It's Val.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
so
Val, let me just say one thing to you. You don't have to sell me. You and I are on the same page here. I think over the years I've sold Lance and John and even Anita on the necessity of building in the trenches, specifically the offensive line. Because you can't be weak there, or it just sends ripples throughout the rest of your team. So I don't think you have to sell us on that. But what I'm trying to tell you is, don't stress out. The Giants have learned, I believe, from watching the offensive line deteriorate over the course of the years since those Super Bowls, and have addressed it now, started to get it back on the upswing, made it stronger, made it younger. I don't think they're going to let that offensive line deteriorate to the degree that it did a few years ago again. I think you learn from these things, and I would find it very difficult to fathom that they would allow those three guys, who are the foundation of what should be a long-standing line, to get away. I don't think that's going to happen unless, of course, you know, somebody gets hurt, or all of a sudden somebody just, like, demands the entire universe worth of money, which I don't see happening. These guys are usually close-knit, and they want to stay together. I mean, that's the way lines usually work.
Well, and it's not as if all of these guys that they drafted in recent history are so far into their rookie contracts as
right.
Well. I mean, keep that in mind. Eric Flowers was just drafted last year. I mean,
he's stressing out when he doesn't need to.
Val, it's okay. Trust me. I think right now they're in good shape, specifically on that left side of the offensive line, where you still have these guys who are young, and they're not that far into the contracts. I'd appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in.
And I would add, just to make him feel a little bit better, when that last wave of Giants good linemen came through these doors, they did extend Chris Snee at the appropriate time, and they made sure they managed that cap. Same thing with David Deal, okay? They knew what they were doing. They had those ducks lined up in order. What they didn't do so well is, as those guys eventually moved to the exit door, they didn't replace them quick enough
the next group
with as much talent as they needed to. But once they got here, they did a good job of managing those guys.
Well, the other thing that's important to know, too, when you look at that group, a number of them were also brought in as undrafted players and free agents, whereas this
Richie
group,
Seibert was.
Kareem McKenzie.
Kareem McKenzie was taken from the Jets.
So
he was
free agent.
He was an unrestricted free agent. Sean O'Hara was an unrestricted free agent from the Browns.
Yep.
Snee was drafted, and Deal was drafted.
So it was a mix. This group. Right now, if you look at Pugh, Richburg, and Flowers, those guys were all drafted.
Correct. And, of course, Bobby Hart is drafted if he turns out to be one of the starters. And the right tackle remains to be seen. Remember, they signed Newhouse last year to be a backup. He wasn't supposed to be a starter. So you can be sure they want to make him a backup this year, because that's what he was meant to do.
Well, let's head to Twitter here, because I know a lot of people are weighing in, and we want to get your voices on the program here. since you may not be able to get to the phone line. So let's check in on Twitter before we jump back to the phones. Simon at Simon Sutherland, do you believe that Tahir Whitehead would be a good fit for the Giants? The Lions actually just re-signed him, the linebacker, so that's no longer an option out on the market, talking about the linebacker position. Ben Gruen at Gruen Ben, let's not forget about Kerry Wynn and Double O are still on the roster. We don't even know what Double O has. And we've talked about this before, Paul. It was a redshirt season last year. So yes. I would throw him into the 2016 rookie class. Double O is the additional guy. So it's funny because a lot of people are saying, oh, well, the Giants are going to have one less pick because of a trade they made. Double O is your seventh pick, essentially, if you want to look at it from that mathematical standpoint.
He's a bonus. And to be honest with you, he is a legit prospect. I mean, if you watched him coming out of UCLA, a run stopper first, but the guy has tremendous skills. It's going to remain to be seen what his production level is, but I know they think very highly of him, and if he stays healthy and has a really good training camp, he will be part of that regular rotation.
Nicholas, backing up your claim, at Nico 12561, Football 101, you build the team from the inside out. So see, you're even getting Twitter Nation to back up.
Do you know how hard it's been for me to convert a lot of folks who just wanted skill position guys with the first round pick for years and years and years and years, ever since we started this show?
The cause has been such a struggle.
I mean, I feel like I've got a little teaspoon and I've been trying to dig and dig and dig and dig from here to China to get people finally on board to this.
The sacrifices that you've had to make, Paul. It's overwhelming, and I can at least back up that claim because I've seen it firsthand.
Yes, you have.
Let's get to one more tweet here before we jump back to the line. Certainly appreciate everybody weighing in on multiple fronts. Frank at RomoCop74, can we please go get Chris Long too? Versatile would be amazing in the NASCAR package. Well, that's why I'm emphasizing depth. Depth with Spags is so key. If you go back to the previous Super Bowl runs, to have multiple guys that you can mix and match. Look at what the Panthers did. Look at what the Broncos did.
Right.
Look at what the Seahawks did. Chris Long, what's interesting about him is, and James Laurinaitis too, those two were released before the free agency period even started. So they've been out on the market for a little bit longer than the typical unrestricted free agent, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the injury factor is certainly the number one red flag when you're talking about Long, and I can appreciate that. And, you know, look, I don't know where he stands physically. I'm sure the Giants made some phone calls and wanted to figure out exactly where he was, but they've just spent quite a bit of their resources on bringing in Olivier Vernon. They spent some resources on retaining JPP. They believe that Odighizuwa is going to be good. They still believe that Kerry Wynn has quite a bit of upside, although he had a bit of a down year last season. So those are four guys right there. I don't know that Chris Long fits. I don't know that he would want to be here on the basis that I think he'd be coming in as the five. I mean, there's a lot of factors. And quite honestly, I'll tell you, somebody else who's out there, he's an unrestricted free agent right now, is Cullen Jenkins, who, to my understanding, from talking to him, he'd be interested in coming back and playing another year for the Giants. And we know he's a valuable guy because he can play inside or outside. He's experienced. He's a good locker room guy. And I think the Giants probably have some interest in having a guy like that around to provide valuable depth. So I wouldn't discount. I haven't seen his name floating anywhere.
Yeah.
I wouldn't discount him coming back to be the last guy.
Well, and the other thing to keep in mind is, as we've seen in years past, sometimes they'll let the player test the market, and then much later on in free agency, we see a player who was with the Giants come back, even if it was near training camp. You know, we've seen guys like Deion Grant. We have seen Stevie Brown. I'm not saying that Cullen Jenkins is going to get to that point, but, you know, he may be one of those guys that could be a late addition depending on how the free agent market plays out.
And I think you must remember, Cullen Jenkins, he's a pro. He's not going to go out and eat 50 pounds of salad and be out of shape so that all of a sudden, oh, you got to drag him off the sofa to, like, bring him back. I mean, Cullen Jenkins, if he wants to play football for another year, he'll keep himself in shape. He will continue to work out. And at some point in time, if somebody rings his phone, I think he'll be ready to go.
And I don't think having the C in front of his last name is going to be a problem. What do you think?
Well,
there's two Jenkins now on the team.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
Went over your head. Right over your head.
It was.
I would think that'd be a small sacrifice. Anyway, Remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live, as we look to transition quickly here, is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players. If you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. All right, let's head back to the phone lines. We've got Seymour in Florida. Let's try him again. Seymour, what's happening?
How you doing?
Doing well, Seymour. How's things with you?
Good.
What do you have for us?
Gentlemen, I think you have this all wrong. JPP cannot play football with one hand. How do you walk away from Shaq Lawson at 10?
Whoa, wait a second now. I think I said earlier, if the Giants believe he's a blue chipper at 10 and he's a bona fide blue chip prospect, you grab him. I didn't say you walk away from Shaq Lawson. I never said that. I would tell you right now, if he's the top guy on the board, grab him.
But according to NFL Network last night, Giants are going away from Shaq Lawson.
Well, Seymour, that's one mock draft out of about 500,000 mock drafts. Since when did one entity speak for everybody?
And since I want to know, since when does Jerry Reese tell his future plans to NFL Network about 3 weeks before the draft?
Yeah, I would not be losing
or
too much sleep.
Or a month before, right?
Yes, I would not be investing so much in one mock draft, Seymour.
Hello.
He's gone. We lost him at that. Appreciate the phone call. I started off the program. Remember when I posed the question about how did the free agent signings impact the draft? And I said depth is still important. So if the Giants went defensive line in that first round, it would not surprise me one bit because of depth.
Again, the bottom line is at 10, you've got to have strong conviction about a player to make that pick. And if you don't, well, then maybe you do move back a couple spots. But if you are so gung-ho about a guy, don't think about his position. I mean, unless he's a quarterback, okay? I'm not taking a quarterback at 10. I will tell you that. But other than that, if you really believe there's a stud offensive lineman there, grab him. A stud pass rusher, grab him. A stud linebacker, grab him. Heck, if you think there's if the Florida State corner is sitting there, which he's not going to be at 10, but if he was, grab him, okay? Because right now you got two dynamite corners that you've signed who will start for you. Who is your nickel?
It's up
right now.
Right
who's
now.
Your nickel?
It's up in the air right now.
Wade, maybe?
Well, it's possible, but I'm sure they're going to want to bring in competition. Not
I would.
Hand anybody the job.
I would. And if you can get a stud corner, a great cover corner who's got outstanding blue chip skills at 10, why would you pass him?
And that's why it's going to be very interesting to see, and you alluded to this off the top, Paul, where the quarterbacks go before the Giants get to 10, because all that's going to do is just bring another prospect down the list. So if you're Giants right now, you want about 15 quarterbacks to go. It's not going to happen in an ideal world. There's a chance to go. It depends. I mean, look at the market right now, especially with Cleveland. They parted ways with Johnny Manziel today, and if the free agent market shrinks up and they don't get Kaepernick or they don't perhaps get RG3, you would think Cleveland's in all likelihood going to take a quarterback, so that's one right there, and perhaps somebody trades up. There's two. I mean, that's great news for the New York Giants, but we're a long way till we start speculating who they're going to pick at number 10. Let's hear from Christian in Colorado. Christian, what's happening? Christian, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, Christian. You're on the air. What's happening?
Oh, okay. I just want to say, first and foremost, I'm real excited about all the free agents we signed, man. I can't wait for Giants football next season already.
Cool.
I just want to ask you guys if you guys know any inside scoop, I guess, about JPP's hand, what he's going to be wearing on his hand next season.
Don't know yet.
He had some grip issues last. He wasn't fighting off the blocks because of that big club. But,
yeah.
I saw him kind of more success with the – I liked him with the glove.
Well.
More flexibility. I was just wondering if you guys know any – if he's guys told you anything about what he plans on wearing next season or
– They will continue to experiment as they go through the spring and the summer. He had another surgery right after the season that they were hoping was going to improve his grip somewhat. I don't know where that stands because we haven't seen him, and we certainly haven't seen him practice since the season was over. But I know that the feeling was he would have the surgery, see whatever improvement he was able to ascertain, and then they would start jockeying around with other gloves, other apparatuses, and through training camp try to figure out the best one. No, I don't think it's going to be the oven mitt style club that you saw last year. I have a feeling there'll be something modified, and it will be better than that.
Well, just to add to that, in terms of your question here, Christian, if you go to Giants.com, and JPP spoke to our very own Michael Eisen, and in the article he said that he plans to play this coming season with a glove on his right hand, which he believes will help improve his performance. And there's a direct quote from JPP. It's definitely going to help. He said, of the surgery, I'll be able to grab. Now I'll be able to open my hand up. My fingers are straight. I'll be fine. You're limited with the club. I'd rather play with one finger than have a club on. So he is indicating that he plans to move to a glove starting this season.
Yeah, they're going
to
figure something out. And trust me, it's to everybody's best interests to find the best fit, whatever it is.
Yep. And I have another thing. Russell Okung, he has a visit today with the Giants. How do you guys feel about that?
I don't feel anything about it until something happens. It's that simple. Until something happens, it's not true. It hasn't happened.
Do you think that he'd be a good fit?
Well, any veteran offensive lineman who has an accomplished resume is somebody I would look at to try to improve the Giants' O-line. And honestly, that's anybody. It could be any of the veteran offensive linemen who are available. I think they're worth at least an exploration because the Giants need an upgrade.
Well, and the other aspect to this, and appreciate the phone call, Christian, and you heard the Giants coaching staff even say this last year, is the fact that they want to foster competition in training camp and in the spring. And the way to do that is you bring in other options as opposed to just handing one individual right from the start the starting job, specifically on the right side here we're talking about.
Right. And by the way, just to, aside from the O-line, to go back to the caller before when we were talking about what would the Giants pick at number 10, and I brought up maybe corner, I was just looking at one of my scouting services that I usually use. They've got as many as 12 corners going in the first three rounds. So there are some DBs in this draft and certainly some guys who could help you by playing the nickel as a rookie. So, you know, don't be married to anything at that 10th pick now. The Giants have done enough defensively where they really can open up the window on this and really go to the best blue-chip guy who's available. And again, as far as the offensive line, to me, I've said this all along, a veteran presence, a right tackle, a guy who's really proficient at run blocking is somebody who I would be interested in.
Let's head back to the phone lines. We check in with Tommy in Virginia. Tommy, welcome aboard. What do you have for us?
My biggest concern is about Reuben Randall. If no one signs him, will the Giants actually bring him back?
You know, I don't have an answer for you right now because Reuben, to my knowledge, hasn't been rumored to have gone on any visits. I haven't seen his name listed anywhere on the web. And so I don't know what the market is for Reuben Randall right now. What I will tell you is this. I think the Giants do need to fill in some holes there at receiver. I think they're paper thin right now, you know, especially with Victor Cruz being a question mark. We don't know what his health is going to be. And Reuben Randall's a guy at least they know of. He had 8 touchdown catches last year. He's got a lot of talent. He's been inconsistent. But Alex Henry, the former receivers coach at LSU, has been brought in to not only help and mentor and mature and improve and polish Odell Beckham Jr., he may get the chance to work with Reuben if Reuben winds up coming back.
Okay. Because my thought was it seemed like he would quit on routes. When Eli threw the interception in the Vikings game, he audible to him, and it looks like he stopped and then Eli throws the interception. In the Cowboys game on the slant inside the in the touchdown, they intercepted the ball in the end zone, and it looked like he just quit on the route.
Well, by the way, he had a really nice touchdown catch against the Vikings in that same Minnesota game that you're referring to. But the biggest knock on Reuben Randall is that he did not run routes crisply and also at times just flat out didn't run the right ones. So,
consistency.
You know,
that's the big word that comes to mind when you think about him, consistency.
So, I don't know. I'm going to tell you right now, if it were me, the door would still be open because the Giants wide receiving core right now isn't as comfortable for me as I'd like it to be.
And Tommy, do appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. The other thing I'll say, and I go back to track record because I think track record's important, Akeem Nicks did come back. Mario Manningham's come back. So I don't think it's a stretch to say if the guy is still out on the market and for the sake of competition and numbers and volume that they bring him back. I would not say that that's completely out of the question here.
Well, I think it certainly helps his chances of coming back in that he hasn't, to my knowledge, been going on any visits and been a highly sought-after property.
Well, and this is the point of free agency, too, where things tend to quiet down a little bit. We've gotten through the surge, as I like to call it, where all the heavy hitters get
the
off
bull
the
rush.
Yes, the bull rush, if that's what you'd prefer to label it. So now you still have plenty of guys out there, but there may be not necessarily as strong of a push as we saw in the first few days of free agency. Let's hear from Freddie in New Jersey. Freddie, what's happening?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hi.
I just want to say I absolutely love all the moves that the Giants made. They just didn't go get players. They filled all the needs, too. And with Snacks and Hankins clogging up the middle, it's going to be awfully tough to run against the New York Giants defense.
Well, that's the goal. And I threw out the number earlier in the program, the fact that, you know, they finished 23rd against the run last season. You have Harrison and Hankins next to one another. Those are two guys just based on pure physical size that are going to be clogging up some holes, and that's the goal. And in addition to that, you know, the importance of Vernon stopping the run, too. Let's not overlook that.
He does that well.
And on top of that, and Freddie, we'll let you continue here. The other thing is about JPP continuing to improve to get back to where he was before the hand injury and stopping the run. Because I've always said this, Paul, the one facet of his game that I don't think he ever got enough credit for was stopping the run. Everybody talks about his sacks, JPP. It was stopping the run to me that was.
Unless it was
a
quarterback read option. That's the one play he always had trouble with. Other than that, he was a very
team in general.
Yeah, he was a very good run stopper.
Yeah, him and Vernon are definitely can definitely play the run very well, too. And another thing, Paul, that you brought up earlier was that people get caught up in sacks with Vernon, but he also led the NFL with 41 hurries on the quarterback. That's big time right there. People underestimate that.
Oh, there's no question. You have to peel back the layers of the onion sometimes. Everybody gets caught up in the sack stats. I understand. Look, that's the big headline grabber. Fine. All be it, but the bottom line is when you're looking to improve your football team, you're looking for impact and production. And, yes, sacks are production, sacks are impact, but there are other ways that you can produce in those fashions. And the Giants have certainly gotten a guy who is very proficient at causing trouble for opposing offenses.
Absolutely. I have one more comment, and I'll take it off the air. Another low-key under-the-radar signing, in my opinion, is Keen Robinson, the linebacker from the Redskins. When healthy, he's a 100-tackle linebacker.
Well, he's a guy who, according to the reports, has agreed to a deal. I don't have anything more to add to that other than to say he's been in the league for 3 years. Never played more than 13 games in any of those given seasons with the Redskins.
Yeah, he's been injured.
Very athletic. Has had a load of injuries to different parts of his body that has prevented him from playing a full season. But he's still young, and again, only been in the league for 3 years. And you are right. 2 years ago when he played in 13 games, he had 100 tackles. The Giants certainly know him well. My goodness, they play in the same division. So if they haven't played against him twice a year, they've certainly scouted enough film to understand what the player is. So you'd like to believe that if he can stay healthy, that the Giants got themselves a guy who's going to, once again, upgrade another position on the defense.
All right. Thanks, guys, for taking my call. I appreciate it.
You got it, Freddie. Appreciate the phone call. He's played in 3 seasons. He's been in the league for 4 because he missed that 2013 campaign.
Right. Well, again, that's like a redshirt year.
A technicality, of course. But just for the sake of clarification there. Let's head back to the phone lines here. Randy is in Virginia. Randy, what's happening?
Good afternoon, fellas.
Good afternoon to you, Randy. What do you got for us?
I am extremely excited by the moves we've made early on here in free agency. I feel that it's kind of been a bit of humility and us going a little bit different route than maybe in years past. Obviously, the salary that we had available helped out a lot, but we've never really been a team that's been big on making big splashes in the free agency period. So I appreciate the solid pieces that we brought in, especially Vernon. You know, watching him on Monday Night Football, he impressed. And seeing the highlights where he actually abused Tyron Smith in a couple of those highlights that he had. So Tony Romo and all them already know what's coming their way. I do want to talk about I want to ask you all one question. Who's available? What options do you all see as far as free safety? And also, I know there's been a little knock on one of the draft prospects, Laquon Treadwell. I think that dude could be an absolute stud, but people are concerned about his speed. I'll take the rest offline.
Sure.
Well, Treadwell, he's referring to arguably one of the top wide receiver prospects out there.
Yes.
I mean, I haven't really heard about any major concerns that he's alluding to.
It's not a great receiving class because most of the guys are not 4.3 or 4.2 burners. That's what he's talking about.
But you know what? This is what I always say. We've had these discussions, Paul.
Can you play?
Correct. I mean, can you play? And the other thing is, I don't get caught up in 40-yard dashes at the combine
when
they're in shorts and shirts. It's very difficult for me to get overwhelmed and worked up over those numbers. Let me see what you do when you get the pads on and the helmet on and run around.
Yeah,
and if it's crisp and on point, I mean, that's to me what matters. That's why, you know, talk to me what he did in the college regular season more so than what he did over the course of two or three days at the combine.
No question. And as far as your question about the safeties, there are some veteran safeties still available. Eric Weddle, of course, is the number one guy that comes to mind. Reggie Nelson, the Bengals free agent safety, is also another veteran who was out there. Beyond that, it gets really slim. And, you know, I understood that. I mean, look, there were a handful of safeties who already signed in the first couple of days of free agency, and I think they got some pretty good numbers, too.
And Eric Weddle, there's been reports out there that he's sort of just waiting, seeing what the market's like, assessing things. He's in no rush to make a decision. At least that was the latest report that I saw. Two other names that I'm going to throw out there in terms of free safety. Walter Thurmond, who's been brought up on this program by a lot of Giants fans, the former Giant who made the transition to the Eagles, had a very impressive season last year, as well as Deshaun Goldson, who was let go by the Redskins, too. He has some familiarity in the division. He's out there. And the other guy I'm going to throw out is Rashad Johnson from the Arizona Cardinals. Those three guys at least jump off the page of the list that I'm looking at.
I believe Bruton is still available from the Broncos, is he not?
You may be correct on that front, too. Let me scroll down here.
Now, he was hurt.
Let's see.
You know, he missed a lot of time because of an injury. I think he may still be available.
I'm not seeing him here on my list. Let me see where they put him down.
But, you know, the bottom line is the safety list is dwindling, and, you know, maybe it turns out that they wind up going with what they have. Or perhaps maybe somebody else is going to be put out on the street over the course of the next month, and there'll be a late street free agent signing. Those things happen too. Is Bruton not? He's no.
I'm waiting. The computer is now playing mind games. You see, you asked some difficult questions here, Paul. Let me look at my list here. David Bruton is still out there. You know why? He's on the strong safety list. I was looking at the free safety list. But, yes, he is still out there on the market.
And you know what? He's an accomplished player. He's got some decent marks on his resume. Certainly being part of a Super Bowl champion, you know, even though, again, injured, had some issues, that's probably an interesting name to think about. Might get him cheaper, too.
Depending on how the market plays out. Once again, you mentioned, you know, a few safeties have been taken off the board, but, I mean, really it's been Tashaun Gibson who's been the major splash, I would say, because Eric Berry was given the franchise tag and Weddle's still out there.
Well, McLeod.
Look at the correct, Roddy McLeod.
Well, I think
it's
pretty good.
Eagles.
Yeah. Yeah, I like him.
So he would be the second one who got at least a decent figure.
Yeah, and again, it was not a deep class to begin with. The Giants, to me, and again, folks, I don't know what Jerry Reese is thinking, but to me, I would want a veteran safety to pair with Landon Collins. I've stated the reason 1,000 times before on this show because I just think that having two newbies back there simultaneously, it doesn't work very well. It lends itself to a lot of mistakes. And then again, don't you want Collins to be able to learn from a big brother as opposed to being the older guy who's got to teach somebody else? I mean, I'd want a veteran there to kind of show him the way.
Let's head back to the phone lines. We've got Steven in New Jersey. Steven, what's happening?
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, thanks for making it.
I just have two questions for you guys. One is, what do you guys think about the Giants signing a big body tight end like a Scott Chandler, particular?
Well, I think that they're quite happy with some of the young guys that are on the roster. And I go back to Jerry Reese's press conference at the Combine, and one of the first things he said was he highlighted a number of these young guys, Matt Lacoste, who they brought in late last season.
And you know I like him.
That's why I threw out that name first, Paul. I did that on purpose because we're going to get a dissertation here. So hold on the line, Steve. We may get a whole other topic going. But anyway, Will Ty, obviously, who emerged last season. It seems as if they're quite pleased with the development of some of the young guys. So, you know, I don't know whether or not that's a high priority position. I know a lot of people have thrown out to me on social media about going after maybe a seasoned blocker, not necessarily a guy who's going to take routes and opportunities away from a Will Ty, but somebody who could stick on the offensive line.
See, I'm finally having an impact.
That additional blocker.
Finally, yes, I'm having an impact on Twitter. People are finally listening to me.
Yeah, well, you got a fan club. I mean, it's growing, Paul. It really is. It's amazing the power of social media. So, I mean, from that standpoint, I think if they did want to pursue a blocker, you know, that additional sixth offensive lineman, I think that makes sense. You brought up Scott Chandler. Chandler, if you look at his career, he's mainly actually been used as a guy that goes out and run routes.
Right.
Whether it be with New England as the second tight end, as well as in Buffalo.
Blocking, he was here at one time, by the way.
Blocking, though, is not necessarily the first thing I would say that comes to mind
No.
with that player that you named. With that being said, I still think there's guys out on the market that fit the label that you're talking about. He wouldn't necessarily be the first guy that would come to mind.
Right. And my second question is, do you think we, like after all our signings, we have enough to re-sign Prince Mukamara if he wants to be a Giant again?
I mean, from what I understand, he's already on visits. I think, didn't Jacksonville
Correct.
In Arizona?
Yes, that was the latest report, was Jacksonville.
They put in phone calls to him. And, you know, quite honestly, with the kind of resources you've got delegated to DRC and now Jenkins, I would not see Prince coming back as the third corner for the amount of numbers that he'll be talking about.
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you, guys.
Okay.
You got it. Appreciate the phone call. I mean, right now, you look at the Giants' makeup, you've got your two starting corners in Jenkins and DRC. The slot is something that we talked about just based on the numbers game. Tremaine McBride's a free agent. J'Ron Hosley's a free agent. Those are two guys that at least have been used in the slot. Trevin Wade, though, is still an option. But in terms of the numbers game, you figure the Giants are going to look to add some more weapons.
You know what? And we haven't really talked about this in this vein before, but Walter Thurmond is a really good slot corner. And because he moved to safety last year for the Philadelphia Eagles, everybody's thinking about him now as one of the safeties on the marketplace. Well, you know what? I would think about Walter Thurmond as a guy who could play slot or safety, as a versatile guy.
Yeah.
Now, maybe that makes his numbers go up and his price go up, and maybe you can't sign him. But Walter Thurmond, for that reason alone, might be a guy I'd be interested in.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, he does fit the bill of that dual threat type of player. I just wonder whether or not he's interested in going back to corner now, given the fact that he did make the transition to safety. Remember, when he went to the Eagles, at least I thought he was going to go there to play corner. They were revamping their
Correct.
Entire secondary.
Then, and then they needed him.
They transferred him over to safety, and he made quite an impressive transition considering he was up there in interceptions last season.
Look, the way the Giants were forced to use Antrell Roll as a slot corner, you know, for a year and a half while he was here because they had so many injuries, you could always sign Walter Thurmond as a safety, and then in obvious passing downs, he could move into the slot.
Which
he could play
with
some
Antrell
of both.
Roll. Antrell Roll would
play
go
some
in
of
the
both.
Slot too. Yeah, he could be your emergency corner type of guy, too. That's certainly something to keep in mind. Now, before we close out the show and appreciate all the phone calls and all the tweets, I know you wanted to address the fact that the Giants did lose one of their former players.
Yeah, Gary Jeter, defensive lineman, former number one pick back in 1977 out of USC, passed away earlier. And I don't have any details on it. I know the media's already had some things out there. Some of the papers and some of the websites have had stories without any details. I know we're still trying to figure out things here as to exactly what has transpired. Gary Jeter was 61 years old. He was a good guy. Again, former number one pick for the Giants, was here during some of the lean years. I remember back in 1980, he had 10 sacks, and he was one of the stud defensive linemen, one of the guys who could really make a difference. And then in 91 or 81, when LT became a rookie, and he joined this team, and you had Lawrence, and you had George Martin, and you had Gary Jeter. You had some guys who could get to the quarterback. And, you know, that team ended that horrible dark period of Giants football where they did not go to the postseason. And in 81, they were a wild card team, and they got back into the playoffs. And that kind of just set off a whole new era of Giants football. And so he was a big part of that. I never got to cover him because it was after the 82 season going into 83, the Giants traded him to the Los Angeles Rams for a third-round draft choice. And I started covering the team in the summer of 83, right after Gary had been traded. And by the way, they used that draft choice for tight end Jamie Williams, who didn't amount to anything. But Jeter went on to have a handful of years of production with the Rams and was part of their good teams there for a while. And so I'm very sad to report that. I know that I had a chance to see Gary and meet him a few times over the years as one of the Giants alums who was in New Jersey and stayed here, made his home here with his family. And so he always had a big smile on his face and certainly will be missed by all of his teammates and everybody else. So our deepest condolences and sympathies to the Jeter family, friends, former teammates. And, you know, Gary Jeter, certainly well-remembered as a guy who always wore a smile and did some good things.
Well, with that being said, we certainly appreciate everybody for tuning in, whether it be on Facebook Live, Giants.com, as we will continue the dialogue on the free agency front as we move into next week. You can follow us here on Giants.com, Big Blue Kickoff Live, each and every weekday from noon to 1 p.m. Eastern. Enjoy your weekend. For Paul Dottino, I'm Lance Meadow. We'll speak to you next week. Have a good one.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
He's got through. 35, 30.